There are those that would view what I have on the board as uncalled for. Why in the world do you come to church and then bring up things that we see all the time, things that we pass by, the graveyards filled, by the way. You think about it and look. And I know right now cremation is pretty popular, so we're not seeing as many headstones as we used to see, but you see this all the time. It's before us. And when we look in Scripture, we recognize that this is an inevitable condition, experience that each and every one of us will go through. As a matter of fact, when we look in Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, verse 19 through 20, Solomon says, "For what happens to the children of man and what happens to the beast is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. They all have the same breath. And man has no advantage over the beast, for all is vanity. All go to one place, all are from the dust, and to dust all return." Solomon, of course, is focusing in on just that physical existence that all life has here upon this earth, separate and apart from man, which has the spirit, but yet still has that physical aspect, the spark of life, so to speak, that is in us. We all will come to the end. All things that live come to an end. All will experience that. None are accepted. These are things we need to consider. And I will tell you that as I have talked with people and as I have grown older, and especially those that are Christians, and I will say especially those that are faithful Christians, there's a different view of death that they have over many people. And it is not so much as a fear, but rather an expectation and a glad expectation. And especially whenever there is age involved and disease involved, that there will be a release at some point in time. And with some, I've even heard some. As a matter of fact, there was a member here several years ago that continued to ask the Lord to take him, continued to ask that his life come to an end. And we'll talk a little bit more about that toward the end of the lesson. And then there are those that fear death. And many times rightfully so, because they're not right in the sight of the Lord. And again, we'll cover more about that as we get to the end of the lesson. But there are different ways in which this ultimate end, death, is viewed. And I want to use this particular lesson, not so much about death, but the condition at the point of death. We see these headstones quite often. We know that it is going to come for all of us, not necessarily that we all have a headstone, but rather death is going to come upon all of us. But what we could say about these headstones are that they are death's bookmark. They're death's bookmark. It is like having our life written down, and at the point of the end of our time, our condition then is bookmarked by the headstone of where we stand in this life with our desires, with our hopes, our relationship, or lack of relationship with the Lord. And it bookmarks where we are when we pass from this life. I want you to consider some things. And I want you to consider some things about death and about death's bookmarks, those headstones in a metaphorical sense. But I want to be very personal for each and every one of us. I'm not excluding myself in this. Where I make these lessons up, I'm the primary target, I want you to know. It doesn't matter what lesson it is. I'm the primary target in it. And so I want it to be very personal to each and every one of us. So I'm going to say that on this headstone, we each have a name. Our own name that is there. And at the point that we die, we're going to be bookmarking something about ourselves, how we lived, our attitude, our experience, that relationship, either with or without God. We're going to be bookmarking that. And I want us to consider from a very personal point of view, what is that ultimate end and exactly what that bookmark, that headstone would say concerning ourselves. First of all, he or she, you put your name there. Please do that for me. He or she was a person that would not respond to the truth. And I believe that every time we come together, there's someone that doesn't respond to the truth, either in becoming a child of God or once having been a child of God, yet they will not respond to the truth. They hear the truth. They may even say that God is truth and the Bible is truth, but they're not willing. They're not willing for some reason to make a commitment to the Lord or return to the Lord. And I want you to think about that. They heard God's word weekly, but they would not obey, whether they are a Christian or once was a Christian that has now erred from the truth. They would not obey. Would that be our bookmark at the point of death? You know, I think it'd be cruel. Of course, it's not our place to do so. Here lies so-and-so, and they wouldn't respond to the truth. Can you imagine that being written on the headstone? Well, man has no right. God is the ultimate judge. When we pass in this life, we are in the hands of a just God. But I will tell you, each of us know our condition before the Lord. It's not a secret. I've talked with people about their condition before the Lord. And I've asked them the question, are you saved? And many of them have responded to me, well, I hope so. I tell you, that should never come forth from the mouth of a Christian. In 1 Corinthians, in 1 John, the 5th chapter, in verse 13, it says there, we may know the things that were written that John wrote there in 1 John, that you may know that you have eternal life. We have a God that wants us to know our condition before Him. But would we at the end of our life, would this be a proper epitaph on that headstone, which bookmarks us at the point of death, to say, well, they would not respond, they would not obey God. And think about that from the standpoint of the lost and God's desire. When we look in 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26, those here in this context are in consideration of those that have not become a child of God, that have not obeyed God. And there, Timothy says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, skillful to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And the gospel is given so that people don't oppose themselves anymore. You are, each and every one of us, are made in the likeness of God. I'm not talking about that physical aspect, but rather the spiritual aspect. And we're here for one purpose, and that purpose is to serve God. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Solomon says, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. It doesn't speak to why we were created. I believe that's a different topic. But it speaks to the fact that since we are here, what our purpose is. To fear God and to keep His commandments. And so the gospel tries to take people from opposing themselves and putting them then rather in a right relationship with God. If God peradventure you will give them repentance of acknowledging the truth, that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. They may come to their senses. And think about that statement that is being made there. It's not from a sense of cruelty or meanness that Paul is saying that. It's from fact. It's from fact. We are here upon this earth. We are here to serve God. We are here to do His will. We are here for a short period of time, and then we are going to bookmark our passage from this life to the one to come. What will it say? Will it be, He opposed Himself all the day? He would not respond. He received instruction in meekness, but yet would not repent to the acknowledging of the truth. He would not, she would not come to their senses, but acted rather upon that which was degrading them all the while. All the while. And so whenever you look at this, he or she would not leave the devil. Stayed captured to him all their life, and it bookmarked them when they passed. That's for the lost. When we look at the once saved, those that had come to the truth, those that obeyed from the heart, the doctrine of Christ Jesus. Hebrews 12 verse 25 says, see that you do not refuse him who is speaking, for if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. And the call is to return back to the Lord once we have left Him. And there's going to be times, there can be times where we stumble and fall. It should not be our intent. And neither should it be from the standpoint of, well, I just give up. I'm waiting for the next time that I'm going to fall. That shouldn't be our attitude. But we understand that we're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And that happens from time to time. But the Lord has made provision for us so that we don't have to bookmark our death to say he never or she never returned to the Lord. People come to the Lord and they hear the gospel. And quite often they are convicted by the gospel. They understand that they are to have the faith that is required of them, that is given by God's word, Hebrews 10 and verse 17, that they are to have a penitent attitude in order to serve God, which says, I'll no longer do my will, but I will do His will. They make a commitment to Christ Jesus and to the Father by naming Christ as the Son of God in a public way. That's a public commitment. And they are baptized for remission of their sins, but yet they forget what they've been forgiven of. And isn't that a shame? And they go and they live their life. And after making that commitment, it is like what Jesus talked about in the parable, that taking hold of the plow and looking back. And the one that takes over the plow in the work of the Lord and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom. They forget that commitment that was made. Let me ask you this afternoon, is that your bookmark? If you're not a child of God, would that be a bookmark for you if you pass from this life right now? And not from a mean standpoint, but I'm talking about you considering yourself. I'm calling no names because I'm not in the place to judge. God is judge. We just speak forth the gospel, do we not? But would that be you? Yes, that's me. That's me right there. Well, will you do something about it? And what about if you once become a child of God, but you have been refusing Him with recognition of the fact that since he warns from heaven, that is through his word, and it is from God to reject him, if they didn't escape who was on earth that rejected him, how are you going to escape spiritually? Will you come to the realization of the fact, I need to come back to the Lord, or will you, in passing in this life, bookmark your place of, I would not obey? You know, really what that comes down to, And this is just, it comes down to rebellion. That's what that is. It's rebellion. And to rebel against God, you have no hope. So, we first of all look at this. Will you respond to the truth? You know, provision has been made for you. If you're not a child of God, you can obey this very afternoon. You can come confessing the name of Christ Jesus, and you can be buried with Him in baptism. And in so doing, you can have the gift that comes from God, Acts 2 and verse 38, and that is everlasting life. Everlasting life. And also, you, if you once were a Christian but have not been living that life, He's made provision for you also. 1 John 1 and verse 9. And he says there, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in both senses, both the lost and also those that would return, the way that you get back to the Lord is through the blood of Christ Jesus. Through the blood of Christ Jesus. And so I'm going to ask you, bookmark your place there today. No, I came and I heard God's word and I responded to it. I became a Christian today. Or I once turned away from the Lord, living separate apart from Him, not living up to the commitment that I made to Him when I said that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But now I'm coming back to Him and I want to bookmark my place where I pass from this earth that says, there's a servant of the Lord. Well, he or she, and here's another epitaph we could see in the passing and the bookmark, of he or she was a person that never looked upward and outward. And you know, I think that's really prevalent in today's world. We have those that will look inward so much. And if we're not careful, we get caught up in that also. We just look inward. What's in it for me? What do I want to do? My time. I will spend my time the way I want. I want to do it. And we begin to look inward rather than looking upward and outward. Would that be a bookmark for you? Would that be a bookmark for you? Had examples of Christ and Christians, but never emulated them. You know, one thing about being part of the Lord's body is that all around us, such as in this congregation, we have examples of what Christians should be, of how people became Christian and how they live their life. And they are good examples that are given to us in order to please God, so that when we pass from this life, we don't bookmark ourselves like this. Well, never looked upward and outward. I just looked inward. Didn't care about what God said. Didn't notice anyone else. I was just involved in self. Think about this from 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. Peter says, therefore, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in his steps. And think about that example that was given if you're not a child of God. It's a call to look outward from self and look unto Christ Jesus. And remember everything that he did. Go back to the very beginning of his work while he was here upon this earth in Matthew, the third chapter. He came to be baptized of John the Baptizer. Remember why he came to do that. Everyone that was baptized of John, as we find out in Luke, the third chapter in verse 3, was baptized at the gospel call of John of the time. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Prepare ye for the kingdom of God, which is to come. Luke 3 and verse 3 also, repent and be baptized for remission of sins. And then Jesus comes. And he's baptized of John. Well, did Jesus need to be baptized for remission of his sins? Certainly not. But he makes it clear there in Matthew, the third chapter, why he was baptized, to fulfill all righteousness, to set forth that example. There you have that example for us, that one that did not need baptism for the remission of sins still followed the prescription that was given by God for obedience, to give us that example that we should follow. And then when we look in the 37th Psalm, verse 37, mark the blameless and behold the upright, for there is a future for the man of peace. And I'll tell you what, the individual that will never look outward from self, will never look upward, but always just looks inward, misses a great learning in life. Sometimes it's negative, but there are positive learnings in Christ, especially where you have good folk around you. I'm talking about those that are Christians. In this congregation, we have elders, we have deacon in this congregation. And they are examples. When we appointed them as a congregation, we made the statement, whether we realized it or not, there is a Christian that I can emulate. There's one that I can emulate. And we did not look inward, but rather we looked outward among us in order to bring them into that work that God had ordained. The eldership and also being deacons. And so we looked outward. Well, we have those among us. We have those that we can follow, that have set examples for us. Jesus being the main one, but also there are others. And so will your life, the end of your life, in that passage be bookmarked by, he cared about not looking at anybody else, but rather what was in it for him or her. That's it. Nothing else. What a shame to pass from that life in that condition. He or she, and here's another one, was a person that would not accept accountability and responsibility. Great problem in today's world, isn't it? Great problem in today's world. We hear rulings that come down from judges and so forth. I told you about one of the judges on a show that I was watching, a confessed serial killer. Clear confession, caught on tape. They played it for us during the show. He comes back into court and pleads not guilty. And here was his defense. It wasn't my fault. It was the parole board's fault. It was the parole officer's fault. And it was the state's fault, because they didn't check up on me, knowing that I was a killer, knowing that I was an offender. They didn't check up on me the way that they should have. So it's not my fault. And as I told you, the scary part about that is that the judge agreed with him. Isn't that a shame? Isn't that a shame? But we live in that sort of world. A person that would not accept accountability or responsibility. They knew their purpose, but never worked in it. Luke the 14th chapter in verse 8. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a field, and I must needs go out and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. This was at the call of Jesus. Come and follow me. Come and follow me. Well, there's other things taking place that make me where I'm not accountable to that call. I have other things that are going on. Matthew 19 and verse 22. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. That's the rich young ruler, Matthew 19 and verse 22. I have things that are important that are out there, and so I'm not responsible. I thought I was doing just great. This is torture that you're asking me to do because I have great possessions. I'm not accountable whenever I'm in that condition. Acts 7 and verse 54. Now when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. That's at the teaching of the truth by Stephen, just before they stoned him. Cut to the heart. Not ready to accept the responsibility and accountability that he had posed before them, of being disobedient unto God, of putting to death the Savior, the Messiah that was to come, of which they all understood, but that Messiah didn't fit the form of Messiah that they wanted or they liked. And as a reason, they put him to death. And Stephen makes accusation against him. Well, he wasn't what we wanted, so we're not accountable. Matthew 21, verses 28 through 31. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, Son, go work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I will not. But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, I go, sir, but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said the first. Jesus said, truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. I bring that out because there are those that are ready to give lip service, but not really be accountable or responsible for their actions because they don't follow through. They'll say the good words. As a matter of fact, they may not even be in service unto God. They may not be a Christian, but you ask them, are you a Christian? They'll say yes, but have never been added to the Lord's body by Christ Jesus because they've not obeyed the gospel, but yet they'll claim Christianity. How in the world can they do that? Well, they want that title, they want that badge, but they don't want the responsibility that goes along with it. And then there are those that once were Christians, and you ask them, do you go to church? Well, no. Well, are you a member of the church? Well, I'm a member of the Church of Christ. Well, are you if you're separate apart from the Lord, not doing His will? They want to identify, but yet they don't want the responsibility that goes along with it. Isn't that a shame? Then we look in Ephesians 2 and verse 10, a lack of recognition of our purpose, once again, as we talked about here in verse 10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we should walk in them, that we should practice them. That's what he's saying. But I ask you, when you think about that, people, would it be said about you when you pass in this life, there it bookmarks that person right there. They knew the truth. They would not accept the accountability and responsibility that went along with the truth and with the relationship of that truth with God. Would that be the situation? Or would it be exactly opposite of what we've been talking about? I pray that this is the case. I pray that this is the case. He or she, and this being on the epitaph, wouldn't this be wonderful? He or she loved as one should. Wouldn't that be wonderful? The attitude of mind is expressed here in Matthew 22, verse 37 through 40. Jesus said to him, remember he'd been asked, which is the greatest commandment? It was meant for a trick. But Jesus goes ahead and he answers properly. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And it hangs, all those two are really the whole principle of Christianity, of being a child of God. That we put Him first, and we also love those that are in, that are our fellow man. And we love people. And then as we see in 1 John 4 and verse 19, some versions read a little bit different to this. I think this is actually the correct rendering here. We love, and some versions put in Him there, which is true, but not from this particular context. We love because He first loved us. And is that aspect of loving God and loving others, it really is just a commentary on what Jesus said there in Matthew, the 22nd chapter. And it could be part of our epitaph. And I pray that this is the case. I ask you this afternoon, if you're not a child of God, will you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind? Will you do that? And will you become a child of God this very afternoon? I also ask you, if you once become a child of God, but have left Him, will you come back to your first love? Remember, just as Christ had said to the church there at Ephesus in Revelation, the second chapter. They had left their first. Well, will you come back to your first love? Will you love Christ? Will you love God? Will you love your fellow man? Will you love, period, because you were first loved by Him? Will you do that? Let that be the bookmark of our passing right there. Each and every one of us, we loved. And properly so. But not only that, he or she set forth the proper example for others. The proper example for others. When you think about this, somebody says, well, nobody pays attention to what I do. Someone does somewhere. I don't care who we are. We are an example to someone. And we are either a positive example or we are a negative example. Philippians 2 verses 3 through 4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. And you think about it, your life is bookmarking for somebody, and possibly in your passing from this life to eternity, it's going to be bookmarked. That person led me down the wrong path. I thought I was doing the right thing. They seemed like a really nice person. They said they believed in God. But they led me down the wrong path. I did exactly what they did, but they weren't truly following the Lord. They weren't looking to His Word. They weren't looking upward and outward. They were just looking inward. And I was caught up in that. I know it's my responsibility now. That was what each and every one will have to say at the end of time. But you set an example for somebody. Either that or else it's going to be that good example He showed to me by His example or her example of how to become a Christian, what a Christian should be. Wouldn't that be a beautiful bookmark at the end of our life? And then he or she had the attitude that God seeks. Isaiah 6, verse 1 through 8. There it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. With two, he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Great humility shown in response to this vision that Isaiah saw. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, and which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and your sin, your iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go forth for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Boy, what a wonderful passing that would be to bookmark right there that we said throughout our life, even to the point of death, Lord, send me. Lord, send me. I'm asking you this afternoon, will you cry, Lord, send me? If you're not a child of God, if you've not obeyed the gospel, will you, through obedience to that gospel call, will you cry out, Lord, send me? I'm here. I'm ready to do what my purpose is. If you've once become a Christian, will you return back to the shepherd and bishop of your soul? And will you say, here am I, send me. I recognize my
responsibility, my accountability. And I recognize how I let you down, but I also recognize your great mercy, where you will once accept me again through my penitent attitude and my prayers. What will be your bookmark? If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.